Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear brethren, as we enter this short period of Passion Tide, obviously our meditation on our Lord's Passion intensifies. And St. Paul, he tells us that Christ entered the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, as a high priest. And he entered by virtue of his blood. Now, we've heard this many times before, and sadly, we have become used to the idea of God giving up his life for us, to save us from our sins. So we acknowledge the truth, of course, and we come to Mass. And then we go about our lives and we forget. We too often forget. We allow our lives to be conditioned by ease and comfort. We have drugs to dull pain. We have hospitals to give us medical aid when we need it. We have modern appliances at home to lighten the workload. We have central heating. We've got hot water on tap. We've got sweetened foods. We've got soft drinks. We've got fast food. We've got easy entertainment. There's no famine, no failed harvest to fear every year. There's no fear of plague. We have medicines, we have antibiotics, etc. So in comparison to older generations, we live a very, very cosseted existence where pain and suffering and death are much less present and less visible. I'm talking, of course, our lives in the West. You just have to push towards the Middle East to see that it's not as easy as I've just described. But with this life of relative ease and comfort, we lose a sense of the harshness of life, the reality of life. We are reminded of it sometimes because of sudden illness or sudden death, especially in the case of a young person. But when these things happen, we're taken by surprise, and we can sometimes wonder why God allows it. And we certainly have all had conversations with people who ask us, why do we believe in a God who allows suffering, especially the suffering of the innocent? Well, God doesn't allow it at all. We allow it. And we don't simply allow suffering and pain to exist, to happen. We make it happen. It is our creation. The only creation we've been capable of. Creation of evil. Sin is the cause of all that's wrong in the world, and we are sinners. So we are partly responsible for all that is wrong in the world, and we have to believe it. Now, you may say, oh, we're only partially responsible, so God should let up a bit. But to think this is to downplay the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of our sins. And our Lord's Passion helps us to better understand the seriousness of sin. Because look what sin did to our Lord. By his permission, he allowed sin to destroy him in his humanity. So that gives us an insight into its seriousness, into its gravity. If sin is powerful enough to overcome God made man, why are we surprised that it's powerful enough to wreak havoc and distress in the world? Now, in a world that's so racked by sin, how can we ever expect an easy ride? We have our own sins to expiate, to suffer for, to suffer by, and to suffer for. But we also have other people's sins to suffer for and to suffer by. That's the lot of a follower of Christ. That's what we find hard to accept, because it seems so unfair. Why cannot the sinner alone pay for his sin? Why must the innocent suffer? Where's the fairness? Where's the justice? Well, it's the way the world's been made. We can fidget and fight all we want. It's not going to change anything. We have to accept that God created us with free will. And that means he made it possible for man to disobey him. He made sin possible. In the world of cows and horses and dogs and cats, sin is not possible because there's no free will. He wanted to make us a bit more, give us a bit more than what is given to the cattle in the field or domestic animals. So he gave us free will and thereby the possibility to earn beatitude with him in heaven. You know the story. If he's given us that possibility, he's also given us the possibility to turn it down, to turn away from him. And so sin spoils the moral harmony of the universe. Just like a single discordant note destroys the harmony of a musical concerto. The other musicians in the orchestra, they played so well, but their music is lost in the general cacophony. And it's the same with us. We live in a world where the innocent are at the mercy of the wicked. Just like all good singers are at the mercy of a bad singer. So it's not good to blame God or to expect him to give us an easy ride. We've been forgiven so many times, and yet we grumble and take scandal at the sufferings of others. But we rarely, my dear brethren, grumble or take scandal when we remember what sin did to our Lord, because we're used to what sin did to our Lord, to the story. Our Lord said in the Gospel, he challenged the Pharisees, "Who can convince me of sin? Who can convict me of sin? You've got nothing on me." And thus, I choose my word carefully, and thus, because he was without sin, he became capable of bearing the full burden of sin. Christ bore the full brunt of sin. Only the innocent can offer up a worthy prayer and a worthy sacrifice and obtain forgiveness and redemption. So, my dear brethren, as we meditate on our Lord's Passion, let's not be half-hearted Catholics. Let's not settle for a superficial view of how the world is or should be. It is a place of sin, of great sin. And sin is a serious business. And so is our Catholic faith. It's serious business. It's not a mantle that we put on once a week on Sunday for a couple of hours. We all secretly want a religion of niceness and ease. And yet Christianity is a religion of blood, pain, passion, death. And that's why the most prominent feature in the church is the altar and the crucifix. Christianity is also about resurrection and life and hope, but we can talk about that after Easter. For now, we're thinking of pain, of God's pain and our own pain. Our Lord was innocent. We can pity him. We're not innocent. And yet we too readily pity ourselves. His generosity redeemed the world. Well, united with him, our generosity will redeem our soul and the souls of those we love. So we have to embrace, as our Lord did, pain and suffering and anxiety and everything that made up his passion. He must find in our hearts a readiness to accept and to offer. We can't be half-hearted Catholics. Half-hearted Catholics are fidgety, they're unhappy, they're often complaining, and they never commit themselves completely to God's plan for them. They always hold back, and therefore they're always unsatisfied. And yet they claim, these half-hearted Catholics, to follow a God who, in the words of Isaiah, opened not his mouth, but was led as a sheep to the slaughter, dumb as a lamb before his shearer. So we have to choose, my dear brethren, we have to choose to give our lives to God, who gave his life to us, or we can prefer to hold back selfishly and to allow sin to finally conquer us, because we will fail and falter, and allow sin, if we hold back, allow sin also to conquer the innocent, that we will have never helped to save. Because that's the reality for those who hold back, push back the cross. The solution to pain and sorrow is the eradication of sin. And this only happens if we stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady and accept to share in Christ's passion by offering up our worries, our anxieties, our disappointments and our pain in reparation for sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.